Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcasts. Or as always, you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Tonight, we have on Peter Boykin, who is going to be running for District 58 in North Carolina, a congressional seat. He's already ran before. We're looking forward to hear from that. And he is also the founder of Gays for Trump. So we're going to have a lot to talk to Peter about. How are you doing thus far tonight, Rob?
I am doing just grand. I took my healthy cell, and it has me energized, better than energized. I am ready to rock and roll. And we've been talking about healthy cell quite a bit here on our show, Andrew. And a lot of people have been asking, what is healthy cell? How do I find out about healthy cell? What do I need to do? And I would say, go to their website, healthycell.com. And if you use the code OUTLOUD, you'll get 20% off your first order. It's a great product. I myself have problems taking vitamins. This is a liquid concentrated type vitamin. You just pop open the top, this little packet, zoom it down, and wham, you're ready to go. And I got to say, there are a lot of people that are out there right now, mainly Joe Biden, whom I would definitely recommend needs to take some healthy cell for his cognitive deficits. And he has a lot of them. I mean, the man don't know if he's going or coming sometime. But, you know, it's up to old Joe if he wants to reach out to us or do his own research and try healthy cell. Now, going back to our guest tonight, Peter Boykin, I'm excited to have Peter on tonight because, as we know, there is the narrative from the left that gays don't support the Republican Party or conservative ideas. How can they? The same thing goes for Blacks or Latinos, Hispanics. Oh, they don't support the conservative party because they're too racist or homophobic. You hear that nonstop. But as you know, Andrew, we have had many Blacks and Latinos and gays to come on the show. And from what I've seen, they are some of the biggest Trump supporters. Ricky Rebel came on, and he was talking about his support for conservatives and President Trump. He even went as far as to record a song and to wear an outfit at one of the award shows, professing his support for conservatism and President Trump. I mean, you can't get that much better than that, showing who you support. But that narrative that's out there, that's pervasive, that's controlled by the media and big tech, that it can't be. Whereas we have the Peter Boykins that are out there, that their voices are oftentimes silenced, suppressed. They don't want them out there. They don't want them out front because they want to control, they being the liberal media, want to control the narrative and have individuals to think that President Trump, the Republican Party, they're against gays. When you see the narrative that's out there, created by the fake news, supported by the Democrats, as to who Republicans and or conservatives support, it just is mind-boggling. Because I would venture to say the racism that the left is constantly talking about, the systemic racism, is coming from the left. They're the ones who are opening their eyes and realizing, hey, we better get in front of this because we've been discriminating against these minorities for far too long. They control the narrative. They control Hollywood. And you look back a couple of years ago, or a decade ago, whenever they would put an image of any of these minorities, Black, Hispanics, or gays, there were always negative images, especially for gays. The images were the crazy gay man, the crazy gay woman who was wrestling with their identity. They're going to go and kill the people. Basic Instinct comes to mind. It's a popular movie, but the person in the movie was deranged. Who made that movie? It came from the left. So now they're trying to jump in front of it again, hopscotch, and say, oh, we support these individuals. It's the right that don't support them. I beg to differ. Look at the images of Blacks and Hispanics. The Black thug, the Hispanic macho man. They were always out to harm the white person. They couldn't obey the law. Now they want to try and change the narrative and say, oh, it's not us, but it was you. You're the ones who control Hollywood. You control the stories that are out there. So when we have a Peter Boykin who comes forward and says, I'm running for office and this is the platform that I'm on, they're shocked. And they want to start throwing everything at him to keep his voice silent. And they're, oh, he's crazy. He's this. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's been brainwashed. No, you guys are brainwashed. And now he's coming forward with the true party platforming, saying, this is who I am. We're not looking at identity politics. Well, I'm looking at the policy. Because as Ricky Rebel said, it's not about what a person is doing in their bedroom. Everyone can identify with jobs, border control. Without further ado, let's bring on Peter Boykin and let's let him talk. Peter, how's it going?
Going well.
So, Peter, what did you think of my opening and how the left has tried to, or not tried, but are controlling the narrative as to who supports whom, and that if you're gay, you better not be a conservative because they hate you?
Well, just want to correct one thing. 2018, I ran for District 58. That was a test run. I'm actually running for U.S. Congress right now. So, yeah, the narrative, always talking about identity politics, you know, including in our Republican Party, I always find it strange where I get thrown the whole why you got to tell yourself you're gay kind of thing. But I always got to tell, I even have to tell my own party, it's like you have no problem talking about how you support blacks and whites and Latinos and Mexicans and everything under the sun. But then when all of a sudden I say I'm the gay Trump support group, all of a sudden it's identity politics. I'm like, how's that any different? You should be pandering to every group because it's all demographics. And the gay demographic, LGBTQ, whatever, unless I'm telling you I'm gay, you're not going to really know. And so we have to identify. And we're not really identifying to, say, the Republicans for them to know. The point is, when we say we're gays for Trump or we're the gay right or whatever, we're trying to indicate to other LGBT people that, hey, there is a group for you. And we need you over here to our group. So that's why we're not just Americans for Trump. We are gays for Trump for a reason, because we're trying to build our group. We're trying to pull gays away from the extremists. Like Brandon Strzok was trying to get people to walk away from the extremism of the left. So it's very important that we identify that being gay and male is a part of who I am, but it's not everything of who I am, and it's not what I'm going to be running my campaign on. I'm not going to say, hey, elect me because I'm a gay Republican. Honestly, if that's the only reason you're going to elect me, I probably don't want your vote. I would rather you look at some of the things that I'm interested in, some of the changes that I want to do, and the fact that I'm not swamp, I'm really grassroots, absolutely want to be the ear. I've told people, I am the ear of the government. I am the voice of the people, and I'm the hand of action. So my point is to really fight the swamp and be an everyday citizen. I've had the experiences of living and working jobs and struggling like everybody else. So I'm more in tune with what the Republican Party is now than the old school, you know, establishment that nobody really wants anymore.
And you're right, it is the old school establishment. And just going back to what you said as far as identifying, there you want people to know, yes, I'm gay, I'm not running on that platform, but in order to peel away from the Democrats. I've said so many times on the show that Republicans shy away from cultural issues. They don't want to talk about it because it makes them uncomfortable. We have to have those conversations. But in order to peel those people away from the Democrats and let them know there is a safe place for you here, it just goes back to when you look at Black and Hispanics, they're saying the exact same thing. We don't want you to send in our communities a white man to say, vote for us. We want you to send a Black man or a Hispanic man. Now, some people would say, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, no, it does matter because you want them to know there is a place for you in this party. Unlike the Democrats, hey, here's our token Black man. You see him over here, you should be here too. And as Joe Biden said so eloquently or not eloquently, if you're not voting for me, you ain't Black. Like, what? No, that's true pandering.
That would have destroyed a Republican. Imagine Trump saying, you're not white if you don't vote for me.
Right. Trump. But they get away with it because they're comfortable talking about those issues. And Republicans and conservatives have got to do the same thing. So tell me, Peter, what are your platforms? Let the folks know what you identify with and what you're doing in North Carolina.
Well, I mean, a lot of times I could identify with a lot of other platforms that everybody else runs on, you know, the pro First Amendment, pro Second Amendment, anti-abortion, small government and things like that. But that's what everybody pretty much Republicans identify. I like to run more on the fact that I'm for human rights, which also involves, you know, gay rights. I am for police reform, not taking money away, because you can't make a better police force if you take money away. But there is some reform that needs to be done. There are great cops out there, but we all know that some people, one person, one out of 100, makes the rest spoil. It's like, you know, what was it, Donald Trump Jr. a long time ago said, you know, when there's a bag of Skittles out there and one of them is poison, would you want to still eat the bag of Skittles? So there needs to be police reform. But that's giving actually more money to the police department to do it proper, to train people properly, to make sure that there is proper justice. I do also believe, you know, of course, not just the Second Amendment. I do think that people need to know, like the Constitution assumed, you know, they assumed in the Constitution when they said people have the right to bear arms. Back then, everybody was educated on how to use a firearm. People knew when to draw your weapon. People knew how to use it for protection. They knew how to hunt with it. They respected that. I would say we need to go back to that. People need to have more sense on how to use a gun, how to clean a gun, how, when and when not to bring it out, how to store it properly. So gun safety is very much important. I would say for pro, you know, for to wait, the way to path to get rid of abortion is to start limiting, not understanding we can't get rid of abortion all at one time. The best thing we could do is try to get it back to its original definition was, you know, very quickly, early term, only available. And it should be on a case by case basis. It should no longer be used as a contraceptive. We shouldn't be paying for it. You know, we have to reduce the amount of abortions out there. We have to understand that sometimes we can't just get rid of it. And the more we keep just saying it's all or nothing, there's more and more babies being, you know, basically murdered every year. One of the biggest things going on right now is the critical race theory. People need to understand that racism actually isn't the biggest issue. Generalization is the issue. Stereotyping. When you stereotype all gays, like right now, the Republicans, they might say that they have no, they don't want to, they don't feel comfortable talking about the gays, but yet you do hear, even during Pride Month, the griping and complaining about the gays and the extremism, and they generalize all the gays into one category. A lot of people generalize all the blacks into one category or all the Latinos in the one category. That's the true issue, is generalization. We're fighting a cultural war, which is not a race war. It's not a religious war. It's a cultural war. And we have to fight against people who don't like great society and don't like just America in general. And that doesn't matter with their race, creed, religion, etc. Bad people of any color or any race or any sexuality, they don't fit with the rest of society. We do actually do have to find civil leaders, hate to use the word, community organizers. Now that's a leftist term they always use, but you have to go into the community, and we have to get the community to understand that we need to start going into our own communities and saying, no, this is wrong. This is goes against the rest of society. This is what you're doing is bad. It's corrupting us all. And we have to recognize that is an issue in all race, creeds, colors, religions, and everything, that nobody's perfect. Nobody's better than anybody else. There's no supremacy of color. There's no supremacy of sexuality. We all have issues. And people also need to understand the right and the left have issues. And for me, the biggest thing that I want to run on is the fact that I want as much possible to work with both sides and get both sides to work together for the betterment of America, because this polarization that we've been going through for decades now is not getting us anywhere. We are now playing a game where we have both sides that used to play the same bait, say they both plays baseball. Well, now one plays baseball, one plays soccer. Nobody plays the same game anymore, but everybody wants to win, and nobody can realize, hey, I might be wrong about this. Hey, you might be right. Let's work together. So call me radical on that, but that was keeps me more moderate, kind of, you know, more middle ground. Actually, the Republicans have been coming more to the middle. Unfortunately, the Democrats have been going further to the left, which is why they always called every Republican a far right. I've always said I fight extremism on both ends, period.
Would you say that Republicans have given up so much ground when it comes to the cultural war?
I think Republicans, unfortunately, the mainstream Republicans, they've gotten very comfortable with their a lot of the Republicans, because there's, I mean, in the on the right, there are so many different factions and there's so much inner fighting. But the problem is that there's so many people who remain silent. I used to go and speak at city council, and I would beg people to go to city council, you know, and speak. And it's retirees and people who have nothing to lose that could have done it, but they wouldn't. And so they've sat back and let the left, which will, they'll continue. The left will keep fighting, keep fighting. They might want 100% of it. And if they get 10% this year, they'll get the next 10%, and they'll can keep going and keep going and keep going until they've got it all. And they're always going to be persistent. And the Republican Party needs to understand that the reason why we don't have Donald Trump in the White House right now is what I kept screaming back in 2018 is, you got Trump in there. He's one man. He can't do it all. He needs support. And then they gave up. They always give up in the midterms. This actually might be the reverse of that. This is an important midterm that the Republicans need to get off their ass, apologize, but they need to get off of it, and they need to get up, and they need to fight hard. And if you want Donald Trump to even think about running in 2024, he's not going to run, and we don't win the House and we don't win the Senate, or at least have a majority back again, because there's going to be no reason for him to run, because you know what they'll do. They'll start trying to impeach. They'll start doing this gate and that gate against him like they did in the last 2 years of his first term. If he has no support and it's just him, he's not going to be able to get what he needs done. He got so much done in the first 2 years, and then it was just crap for the last 2 years because he had no support. And that came from the laziness of the Republican Party. And I'm going to say it because somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to say the Republican Party has gotten lazy on a lot of subjects and giving it up. And they need to understand. Even Donald Trump Jr. kind of taught me this, because the day after the midterms, he said, and I'm like, oh, we'll get a small break. He's like, and now starts the campaign of 2020. He said it the day after. I'm like, oh, crap, there is no break. There really is no break. It's always a battle. It's always a battle. And sometimes we win and sometimes we lose and sometimes we compromise. And honestly, that's what ambassadorship is about. Compromise. That's why we do meet with other nations. Compromise. So if we can compromise with other nations, I think the right and left sometimes can actually compromise for the betterment of America.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And these midterms are so important, as you mentioned. Tell us about who you are running against there in North Carolina in your campaign.
Well, currently, there's only one person who has identified themselves. He first said he was going to run against established Republican in District 5, Virginia Fox. But when Ted Budd, my congressperson, decided to run for senator against Mark Walker, who's also been my congressperson, it opened up District 13. Now, the issue with that is the census will change things again. And because of the everything, we won't know exactly the specific district. And they might even change the number because we added a 14th district. We won't know until September. We've got a file in December, and then the primary is in March. But for now, declared is myself and another person called Bo Hines. Now, Bo Hines, I don't know much about him other than he has, and I'm not the type of person that likes to talk bad about somebody, but doing basic research, he is youthful right off the press. He's going to school to be a lawyer. He went to Yale. He was a football player. His family's very affluent. He's had 58 donors that have donated the max. So right now he says he's the grassroots, but he's giving off the AstroTurf vibe. And everything seems to be bought and paid for. He's not really communicating with the public. He's not even, you don't legally have to live in the area run, but he's not even in this area at all. I know these people. I've used to work for Uber and I used to drive a lot of people, over 10,000 some people in the last so many years that I've drove around town. I've delivered food to people. I've taken people to their appointments. I've seen people from all walks of life. I've driven up and down North Carolina and met so many different people over the years that I have a better ear to what's actually going on in the community. And I don't think that right now having a young, inexperienced individual that basically screams swamp, screams rich, affluent, I don't have a job, I've never had a job kind of, you know, affluence is what the Republicans kind of want right now. The Republicans for now are worried about if their vote's counting, and they're also worrying about people who actually will listen to them and want to be a representative. And that's who I'm planning on being. Now, the field might grow. I don't know who else might step in the ring. It could grow up to 20 people. It's an open region. But my whole point is I've putting my name out there. I'm completely grassroots. I don't have $150,000 like my opponent has in a growing war chest. But I will put out billboards. I will get out as much as I can. I will ask for small donations. I'm not here to make money off of it. I'm not here to get famous off of it. I'm here because I have lost my jobs over the years. I have been canceled cultured from social media. And my goal is to do what I can to bring my knowledge of technology to America, because we absolutely, we don't need any more lawyers. That's for sure. We need more technological people, people who can fight against big, bad social media, people who can help us not go through this energy crisis of being shut down by a Russian hack, you know, which I could have, honestly, I can maneuver around that hack like in like 30 minutes. I can't understand how they paid a ransom like that. That's a ransomware, which is actually a very easy to get around hack. And it shows that their infrastructure of their company wasn't done proper. There's so many different ways. It's irritating that our infrastructure for technology and our communication systems can go down so easily. We don't even have copper wire anymore. You don't even have traditional phones anymore. If the cell phone networks go down or the power go down, the grid goes down, we have no actual way to communicate with each other.
What you're saying is so true. We do need to diversify the knowledge base that's on the Hill. I mean, we have enough, the attorneys and the lawyers are good, but we need to diversify so that we can tackle issues like big tech and what they're doing, because a lot of the folks on the Hill don't understand it. But I want to just backtrack to something that you said, your opponent, very little experience. But as we know, it doesn't matter when it comes to the Democrats. They will get the most least experienced person. Look at Alexandria Cortez, or whatever her name is, AOC, whatever she calls herself. Zero experience. However, they have her out there as a subject matter expert. She's always thrown out there. She's always given the mic. Why? Well, because she has a lot of followers on social media. And they want us to believe that social media is the universe. Granted, there's a lot of power out there and you reach a lot of people. Look at President Trump. He reached a lot of people. But this woman knows absolutely nothing. You get her before someone who knows the issues and who can debate the issues, and she will falter. This happened to her back in 2018, and the media covered for her. I want her to have a debate of substance. I want someone to go against her. Now, of course, if that were to happen, they'll come up with all these isms. Oh, genderism. They're trying to put her down. Oh, womanism. They're trying to put her down. No, she doesn't know anything. But yet
we've actually had a run in before. We've actually had a run.
Well, that's
before.
Good.
People came up with her. It might be a surprise, but AOC would actually be a target for me to actually pull in, because I would actually want a nonpartisan committee, and I would pull somebody like AOC and Marjorie Taylor and other people and say, we need to have a conference. because there is some ideas that you might actually, because even with AOC not being a lawyer and stuff like that, there's probably some things that she might be good at, you know, like even the Green New Deal was horrible, but at the same time, I am for diversification of our energy grid. And
I am just diversification of it, but all due respect, I wouldn't call her in on anything. In my opinion, she's clueless. I'm serious. And I'm going to use their playbook. She is useless. Marjorie Taylor Greene, yes, I would call her in, but AOC, I have had enough of her and her Instagram, whatever she says, it makes absolutely no sense.
Could you imagine if I was able to pull her to our side? Could you imagine?
Oh, God, I think she can be manipulated.
Let me say this. To walk away.
I know that some on the right have said, Laura Ingraham being one of them, has said that she's not a dumb woman. She's smart because look at what the capital that she has managed to gain and having these seasoned politicians afraid of her. And that's because of social media.
Ted Cruz worked with her, actually.
I don't think that I could be as magnanimous, because I see her and I just see 000. But back to my point, as far as candidates not having anything behind them, the Democrats will put them out there. So let's look at 2022 and what you said. If we can't win 2022, there will be no hope for us in 2024, especially in the way of Donald Trump. Now, absolutely, 2022 will be extremely interesting, because we know that if the Democrats cheated once, they will cheat again. It looks as if, though, we have the momentum, especially when it comes to gun control, law enforcement, and everything that they're throwing, the socialist agenda, the communist agenda. Never in a million years, I'm sure, that a lot of people would have expected us to be where we are now, tearing down our history, tearing down what makes us America, and people openly saying they don't like the country, they don't like the flag. They've said it in the past, mm-hmm, but now even more so, making our children little activists, teaching the stuff in school. And I heard someone say the other night about CRT, simply because we're saying don't teach it into schools, don't think that they won't try to enter it in by another avenue and call it something different, because that's how they work. We have to get rid of the people that are there with that mindset. You look at our school system, look at our universities, a majority of the people there are from the left. The right has just given up. They've conceded that ground. But we have got to go out and we have got to start recruiting and telling people these jobs are honorable. Like you said, bringing people on the Hill that have the background, that knows technology. We have got to cover the bases. We're behind. And the only way we're going to get ahead is if we start recruiting and looking at other people other than lawyers, other than doctors, looking at people in these specialized fields and say, come here, be a teacher, do this and do that. It can be done. We can't just sit there and say, vote for me because I have the conservative ideas and I have the platform. What about the people that are out there going to those communities and pull those people out and say, have you thought about this? And as I said on one of our shows, in addition to that, and a lot of people will push back on this, is to get our conservatives to move to those blue states or start recruiting in those blue states and raise them up. That is what Democrats do. They're pushing people to Florida. They're pushing people to Texas. They've messed up their states and cities. So now they're going to, let's get up and let's go to the red states because they're managed so well. And once they get there, they'll tell a friend, the friend will come, their families will come. The next thing you know, you have a huge neighborhood and then a huge voting block. And then they start to chip away our values, making the state purple and then blue. Republicans, conservatives have got to wake up.
Got to start working with those people. We do have that goal. They're coming over to our areas now, and we have to show them, hey, the reason why when they look and they're around, like, oh my God, everything's so much nicer and less crime and stuff. And yes, there's a reason, because Republican ideals and then things work, you know, and we have to start educating. We can change people's minds, you know, at least we could get them more moderate, if anything. There is specific issues, you know, a lot of people who are only on the left because of the abortion issue, you know, or some people are only on the left because of the gay issue. for years, it used to be me. I'm like, oh, the Democrats are so good on the gay issues, but the Republicans are anti-abortion. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? But then it got to the point where I never was a registered Democrat, but when I realized that the Democrats just was using people and just really nasty to their own people, if you didn't vote the way they wanted you to vote, I was like, I'm out. I'm not voting for any Democrats anymore. You know, I'm like, no, because y'all, I know how you are, you know, and there's a few rare exceptions out there who might as well be Republicans. You have to understand there's some of these areas that are just always Democrat, but there's going to be somebody who's moderate. So a lot of Republicans give up in the areas. They're afraid. And it does get worse right now with social media cutting you off and businesses firing people once they find out you're at a Trump rally or something. And those rules need to be put in place. I would say that that honestly, I've been told before that the whole Title VII that, you know, supposed to protect sexuality and race and stuff, it also says creed. And I've actually been told creed is not just religion. Creed is your belief standards and your moral standards, which is also kind of like your political standards. So creed should actually protect your political beliefs. And so that should be protected from being fired or let go to your political beliefs. The other issue I would say that's big is we need to make sure that we should have learned this back in 2000 with the whole Chad issue of, you know, George Bush and Al Gore, you know, and it could have went the other way. But elections, especially federal elections for the president, to me, I would make presidential elections done in a separate booth, guarded by the National Guard, done in a different process, making sure there's no ballots out on the streets to be burned up or destroyed, that presidential election should be protected, and every presidential election should be audited. And there should be a bureau that their job is to audit every single presidential election, no matter which way it goes, to ensure that our presidential system of electing our president is always secured. Now, the Constitution, it says that the states have the rights to do their elections for their federal officers. Well, that, you know, the Supreme, you know, the state, you know, going to the Congress, but the presidential, that affects all the states. And if that's not done right, it's unfair if one state like Arizona or Georgia allows this and that, and then that president gets the points, but it affects all the other states because there's cheating and fraud. And I'm getting tired of people saying the unfounded fraud, unfounded bullcrap. We shouldn't have to be fighting as much as we are to get a proper audit. And it should be done by a federal audit. The state should audit and the federal should audit. And it should be automatically done. Because if you've seen in every other country in the world, as soon as the election system breaks down to the point where people don't believe their vote is being heard, you get things 10 times as worse as January 6th, which was a cakewalk compared to other countries, period. So we have to protect our presidential voting system now and before the next election and continuously, no matter who wins.
Well said, Peter, and I feel that so many Americans feel the same way. If you want to support Peter, you can go to boykinforcongress.com and check out his website and support him on there. You were tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all of the great shows. We will be back with more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back, After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest at the top of the hour was Peter Boykin, who's running for Congress. I don't know if you guys notice or not, but he is the president of Gays for Trump. And throughout our conversation, we really didn't tag him necessarily to any particular gay issue. It was more so people issues. Now, he mentioned that he's okay with people saying, I'm a gay for Trump, because you want to identify those people so that they will know that there are gays up under the Republican tent. But his concerns are people concerns, jobs, the economy, border control, violence around the country. I think that we all need to understand what's happening, and that is the Democrats love to use identity politics to break us up, to divide us. They're constantly using identity politics. Whereas under the GOP, the Republican tent, we're able to bring in a lot of people without saying, hey, I'm a gay. Hey, I'm black. Now, don't get me wrong. We want people to know that there's this tent for you to come up under. But our issues and our concerns are people concerns, American concerns. That's the word I'm looking for, Andrew. American concerns. We're all Americans, and those are our concerns. And having just celebrated the country's birthday, which some are balking at, I think that we should recognize that these are all American concerns that we should all be concerned with, and we should be striving for. The country isn't perfect, Andrew. By no means are we perfect, but what country is perfect? That being said, you do have a lot of people trying to come to America for the American dream. And they're not coming because we're a racist country. They're not coming so that they can taste a little bit of that racism that they say that the whites have. They're not coming so that they can topple down statues. They're not coming. CRT, critical race theory, can be taught in our schools and told that, oh, the white man is bad. He's a bad person and you're good. They're not coming because of that. So while Americans are busy, liberal Americans are busy trying to divide us with identity politics, and then look down on who we really are, other people are coming here to partake in the American dream. Why else would they be storming the border? Well, some would say, well, Joe told him to come. He said to storm the border. Yeah, Sleepy Joe did say that, unfortunately. But aside from that, and as one of our guests said not too long ago, I think it was Michael Johns, that 3 decades ago, we didn't have this problem. But then we started to recognize it, that so many people were storming our borders. And at the time, both Democrats and Republicans thought that it was a problem. Even Barack Obama said, don't come here. He was just president not too long ago. But now that the Democrats have realized that, or so they think, that they could use those individuals that are coming here as potential Democrat voters, they want them all to come. Dianne Feinstein even said it back in the 80s. Don't come here. Hillary Clinton said it. So you have all these people that were saying, don't come here, Chuck Schumer included, Nancy Pelosi. I have the videotape. You can go to our Facebook page, After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and call it up, or else you can go to our YouTube page, magamedia.org, and you'll see that they were all saying, don't come here. But now that they can get, we could use these as potential voters. They want them to come. And then they're saying that Republicans are racist because they're afraid of a black planet, a brown planet, so they don't want them to come here. What do you say, Andrew?
Yeah, the Biden administration and the border has been a complete catastrophe thus far. You look at the numbers so far, 178,000 illegals came in April, 180,000 more came in May. Both of those are 20-year highs. The border crisis is out of control, and Biden only has a 33% approval rating at the border. So his numbers are way down, and here we see the media ignoring it, ignoring the problems at the border. And President Trump really shined a light on the problem at the border, and so many more Americans are paying attention now to all these illegals coming in. And like I've said for a while now, it seems to be that the Democrats just want to increase their voter base. They want to give these illegal aliens a pathway to citizenship and let them basically cheat in more elections is what it all comes down to for the Democrats. They don't care about these kids in cages or the illegal immigrants. They just care about what they can do for them.
That's all they're concerned with. And as you said, President Trump highlighted the problem. And he even said, it's not that we don't want you to come here, but come here legally. We're not saying don't come. We're just saying come here legally. What other country would allow you to bombard their borders and not say anything? As Michael John said on one of our shows, this was the whole New World Order, the agreement in Davos, whereby America would be the country that would take in all of these illegal immigrants, regardless as to whether or not we would be able to support them, regardless as to whether or not it's going to blow up our economy. They didn't care. It's just bring them to America. Why can't they go to Europe? Why can't they go to China? China's supposed to be so rich. It wants to be the dominating country of a couple more decades. Why can't they go there? Why can't they go to Japan? Why must they come to America? You have all these other countries that are out there. China is doing extremely well. They're no longer a developing country. They're developing weapons of mass destruction against us, like with the China virus. Why won't these people go there? Then some would say, oh, well, their borders, they're like overseas and America is just right there. Well, why don't they go to Canada? Why must they come to America? Because America is a racist country. Why must these individuals come here? I am yet to get an answer, Andrew. No one can tell me. Why can't all these countries partake in this? You look at Europe, you look at the Africans that were coming to Europe and to Germany and to Sweden, and they were like, wait, we got to put a stop on this. And some of the refugees were coming from Muslim countries, and they were wreaking havoc, not obeying the law, just doing whatever the heck they wanted to do. We can't be the shelter for everyone. And that's not a racist comment, and it's not a prejudice comment. It's just reality. America has got to take care of her own first, especially considering all the problems that we're having, like places in Chicago, with the recent lockdown of 2020 because of COVID-19, also known as the China virus. We've got to bounce back from that. Who's going to help us bounce back? All these other countries are just happy that Joe Biden's in office so that they can usurp all the money they can from him, take as much money as they can from him. When he went to the G7 summit, they were all smiley and giddy. Yes, they were saying America is back. America and its welfare check is back. Right outside money to take care of us. Look at Germany. We're defending Germany, sending them money. When does it give? When does it give? At some point, it has to stop. You know, we can't keep policing the entire world. We can't be the welfare bank for the entire world. It makes absolutely no sense. But yet and still, here we are, with people looking for America, the country that's supposed to be racist, to do all this and then some.
Yeah, Chicago is almost like a third world country at this point. The place is just so dangerous. On the 4th of July weekend, 80 plus people were shot and 14 were fatally wounded in just one weekend in Chicago. And you here have Mayor Lightfoot, who just blames white supremacy and guns from other states is what she claims the problem is in Chicago. Not the mass violence and the lack of law enforcement being able to apprehend these criminals and thugs. What's going on in Chicago is just downright tragic. And then you have the media who completely glances over it. I mean, could you imagine if 80 people were shot in a mass shooting? It would be massive news for a week. But since it happened in just another weekend in Chicago, it gets glanced over.
Glanced over. No one wants to talk about it. It's nothing to see here because it's black on black crime. We all see it. We all know it. Even China recognizes it. They see it. We're the laughing stock. And while the media wants to portray that, oh, it's not here, it's systemic racism. And when Mayor Lightfoot said, well, the problem that we have here is white supremacists, are you serious? Woman, look at the population in Chicago. Look at where the violence is taking place. It's not taking place in some white supremacy area. It's taking place in the black community, Chicago South Side. Wake the heck up. I shouldn't even say wake the heck up, because they see it. They know it. They know what's happening.
Well, Rob, Chicago was the place that Jesse Smollett got jumped by white guys wearing MAGA hats. Oh, wait, that didn't really happen, did it?
No, it didn't happen. The wee hours of the night, and he's going to say that white men wearing MAGA hats jumped him? And where are we with that? I haven't forgotten about it. He lied, and he should be charged. But of course, the prosecutor, Fox, she's going to look the other way because Michelle Obama got in contact with someone who knew someone, and they said, oh, don't prosecute him. He's a nice guy. No, he's not a nice guy. That did not happen. It never did happen. Never could have happened. Chicago, one of the most liberal cities out there. So when I hear about hate crimes, I'm like, okay, maybe it did take place, but I'm sure the person who did it is probably a Democrat, a person who voted for Joe Biden. Just the other day, they were talking about hate crimes here in New York City. I'm like, okay, the person probably voted for Joe Biden's probably a Democrat. All of the attacks on Asians have been black men, probably voted for Joe Biden. And if they didn't vote for Joe Biden, it's because they couldn't vote because they were a convicted felon. Let's just be honest. Let's just speak the truth. If the Democrats are going to come out and speak a lot of stupidity, then it behooves Republicans to come out and counter what they're saying. We have sat back too long and not spoken up. It is time to speak up. You look at this knucklehead, Cori Bush or whatever, and her comments about the 4th of July. You look at Vanessa Williams singing the Black National Anthem. And I'm so glad the congressional candidate, Laverne Spicer from Florida, called her on it and said, I don't think so. Not here. This is America. We sing the national anthem. The Black National Anthem, it has its place. I'm not saying don't sing it. But on the 4th of July, that's not the place to sing it. So what's going to happen? The blacks are going to look at Juneteenth and then the whites at July 4th. So once again, we have the Democrats creating segregation. Who controls corporations? Because it is white liberals who have set by and allowed discrimination to take place over and over again. Now that they want to be woke, they want to flip the script and say it's conservatives. And again, conservatives need to push back and say, no, it is not us.
Yeah, well said, Rob. And the self-hating white liberals are absolutely pathetic. But it wasn't only Cori Bush who jumped onto the anti-4th of July rhetoric. Mad Maxine Waters had to throw her name into the hat. She tweeted, July 4th, and so the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal. Equal to what? What men? Only white men? Isn't it something that they wrote this in 1776 when African Americans were enslaved? They weren't thinking about us then, but we're thinking about us now. And then she goes on to say, 17 states have enacted voter suppression laws. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Michael Brown, Sandra Bland, and Tamir Rice have all been murdered, she claims. So here you have Maxine Waters, who's been in Congress for, what, 4 decades or something like that. And she's in her 4 decades, apparently nothing has gotten better, according to her. And America is still this terrible racist country. What do you think of this anti-American rhetoric, anti-4th of July rhetoric that we are seeing from the far left out of the likes of Cori Bush and Mad Maxine Waters?
I would say to them, get your bags, pack your bag. You leave the country while other people are trying to come in. Illegals are at the border trying to come in. Since you're saying the country is so racist, and just going back to what you said, Maxine Waters tweeted, okay, why weren't you saying that decades ago? If you felt that way, why weren't you saying it decades ago? Because see, now she wants clicks. She wants attention. If she really and truly felt that way, why wasn't she telling her white Democrat friends, you guys need to do better in recognizing black people? Why? Why wasn't she saying it under Barack Obama? You see, it's all for show. These people aren't serious about what they're saying. And if they are, why do they want illegals to come here, the so-called perceived racism? Cori Bush should have never been elected to Congress. I don't know who's in her district, how she got there, but I question the individual's judgment. Unless she cheated, which is a possibility. Ilhan Omar, I said the same thing. But I also said regarding Ilhan Omar's district, if you were to check the district out, you would find out that many of the people in her district, or probably a large segment of the voters, or white liberals, that will talk a talk about, oh, we're racist, but they're not going to give you any of their fortunes. They want it to come from the government. And then the other segment of her constituency are Somalians that were rescued by America. That's, to me, very dangerous. And we need to keep an eye on them. Facebook has enacted this new rule whereby you can tell on your friend if you think your friend is radical. Well, I think I need to go and start telling off on those people. They say, if you see something, say something. And the moment people start squealing on Muslims and people of Arab descent, oh, they'll shut that down quicker than you can say flapjack. They will shut it down. They come up with these crazy ideas. Again, ideas that promote division and strife. So to Maxine Waters, or who was it written for, or Black people were enslaved when it happened. Well, Maxine, there are a lot of people that weren't even here in the country. Was it written for women? But you have amendments to make things better. Again, the country is constantly striving every day to get better. So what are we to do? Just tear up the Constitution and then rewrite it and then write it from a Black point of view? I don't think so. If our forefathers knew what they knew now, I'm sure they would have done better. But we have to look at it that that was a point in time, and that's what so many people fail to realize, a point in history when certain things were allowed. As we progressed, we got better. But we don't want to progress and then regress by creating more segregation and telling people that you're bad because of something that your ancestors had done. What kind of sense does that make?
Yeah. A good way for us to progress would be to vote out Maxine Waters. You could vote for Joe Collins if you live in the southern LA area. We got to get her out. And of course, you can listen to Joe Collins with Rob and Andrew on After Dark America Out Loud in the archives. And Rob mentioned earlier Laverne Spicer, who's running against the crazy hat lady, Frederica Wilson. We would love to see Laverne Spicer get elected as well. So those are two great candidates that we've interviewed here on America Out Loud that you guys can go check out in the archives. We've interviewed so many candidates already this year, and we're looking forward to speaking with so many more. Rob and I feel it is so important that we take back this House and Senate in 2022. And it's going to be our only chance to take back the White House in 2024 is the way we look at it, because the Democrats want to put on all these voter fraud laws and whatnot, and we need to tip the scales and have some fighters in Congress and the Senate to fight back.
Absolutely. And then just going back to Maxine Waters, I guess she failed to realize what the 13th Amendment did. It ended slavery. I mean, these politicians have history completely wrong. They are so messed up, so contrived, and they keep pushing out this false narratives. And then you have these people, and they're nothing but pundits on CNN and MSNBC, like Joy Reid, that promote this, and Don Lemon, and they engage in this, and they think that it's right. And then you also have a lot of bougie Black people, liberals like Barack Obama, who also support it, and Oprah Winfrey. But I look and I'm like, but how did Oprah Winfrey get to where she is if there is systemic racism? How did Barack Obama get to where he was if there was systemic racism? Unless he cheated, unless the Democrats cheated and got him elected. Because if we're so racist, he would have never gotten elected. Oprah Winfrey wouldn't be a billionaire. Like, look at Michael Jordan. Look at LeBron James. None of them would be where they are. They would not be where they are if there were systemic racism. Unless the Democrats decided at some point in time, well, let's just let you go through and no more. Tyler Perry. Look at all this collectively, and you listen to what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense, but yet they're still pushing this. And when I see the corporate media that's backing this, I'm like, what do you have to gain by backing this? The Olympics, Gwen Berry, wanting attention, who comes out and says, well, I didn't want to stand for the national anthem because it wasn't for me, and listen to the words. Well, Gwen, listen to the words of rap music, and then let's have a discussion. And I'm sure you're out there on the dance floor twerking your butt, but listen to the words of rap music. And then let's have a conversation, a meaningful conversation, meaningful dialogue. Meanwhile, you have Shakara Richardson, who made a mistake, who owned her mistake, Andrew. She said, I was aware of the rules, and I smoked pot. I was going through some things. I found out that my mom had died. I was going against the rules. I was aware of what I did, and I was penalized.
It's not racism, but the thing is, marijuana is so strong in the Black culture. A lot of these successful Black athletes you've seen in the NFL and other sports just serve suspension after suspension because they cannot stay off the weed. I mean, how hard is it if you're making millions of dollars just to not smoke pot during your work season? It just never ceases to amaze me that the opportunities that so many of these people throw away just because they cannot get off smoking pot. She's a patriotic American who loves America and wanted to represent the country. I would have loved to have her on the team. but rules are rules. And as Rob said, this is not racism. It's a real shame that she got caught up in this, but that's just part of the rules, huh?
Yeah, it's part of the rules, but you know what is racism? This is what they won't talk about, that these oppressive laws were created by none other than liberal Democrats, liberal whites. Like I say, said, oh, pot is getting out of control, and these black people, they're constantly using it. So we're going to go in, and we're going to put the stiffest penalties. New York has the most stiffest penalties for users of pot at one point. Look at Alice Johnson. She sacrificed like decades of her life that white liberals instituted, not conservatives. Conservatives were like, hey, do what you want to do. But white liberals instituted these rules. And now they want to say, oh, this is not fair. Oh, poor Shakara, that poor girl. She's a black woman, and they're trying to keep her down. No, she didn't say it. Why are you saying it? And you see no one on CNN or MSNBC putting that out there. No, they won't. They will not own up to the mistakes that they created, the mistakes that they made. And as a result, blacks are suffering. Folks, we just got to wake up. I'm sorry. And that's the reason why Andrew and I come on and we talk about these things. And some of you might say, oh, well, you're talking about the same thing over and over again. Well, why shouldn't we? That's what the left is doing. And some of you are beginning to sway to the left and say, oh, well, you know, they got a point. They don't have a point. Shakara broke the rules. She knows it. She accepted it. Move on. Gwen Berry, yeah, she has freedom of speech, but you don't do it on a public stage. And if you want to do it that way, then don't participate. How does she think she was able to participate? If the country was so freaking racist, would say, you're black, we don't want you there. And then to go and attack the Olympic rules and say that they're racist, but the simple fact that they don't want to, there's a new, I think, a headgear, Andrew, that black swimmers are wanting to wear when they're swimming. And the latest thing is that, oh, they are, they're discriminating against black people. They're trying to keep black swimmers from swimming because they don't want them to wear this headgear. I did a little research. And you know what the truth was? Is that they submitted an application for that the black athletes to wear this headgear when they're swimming past the deadline, after the deadline. As a result, they said, okay, you missed the deadline. We can't go back and make things special for you. But people want to look at this and say, oh, they're doing it because it's a black thing. No, it isn't. No, just imagine had a white company done the same thing and they said, oh, well, you just missed a deadline by a couple of hours. We're going to let you slide on through. The first thing blacks would have said is that, oh, they let them go through because they're white. You see? You see how I turn that? People think about what the left is doing and saying, because it's a bunch of malarkey, as Joe would said. They want to keep the two races constantly fighting. And it's always black and white, black and white, black and white. Meanwhile, the Asians are doing their thing. They're coming over here. They're dominating us in coding. They're dominating us in STEM. And we're still fighting backwards and forwards because of white liberals and these bougie blacks like Maxine Waters that don't mean a thing about a thing. Oprah Winfrey, billionaire, but keeping up a ruckus. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama. They have said nothing about the bodies in Chicago, but they want to keep up a thing and wanted you to jump on their bandwagon. Again, on this show, we bring on candidates to discuss the issues. I would implore you all to look at those candidates and vote red up and down the party platform.
Yeah, Rob, well said. I'm really looking forward to the Olympics this year, as I do every 4 years. I just hope it's not a woke Olympics with so many of these American athletes embarrassing our country and disrespecting the American flag. I have no interest in seeing that. And if that's what's going to go on, I'm not going to make it very long and watch very much of these Olympics. We shall see. Thank you for joining us tonight on another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast, or you can head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com for countless hours of content. Remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.